In 1978, as the Cold War was heating up, I was a student at the University of Colorado in Boulder. When I learned of a big protest being planned at the nuclear bomb plant south of town, I signed on. Growing up in Metro Denver, I knew a little about the Rocky Flats plant, its history of plutonium fires and radioactive water pollution. My sister and her young family lived nearby, downwind in Arvada, and I was eager to stand up and say no. A major rally was planned for late April, capped by a symbolic blockade of the railroad spur that served the only factory producing the plutonium pits at the core of every U.S. nuclear weapon. I joined a big weekend training for nonviolent direct action, planning to support those who would risk arrest. The day of the rally, more than 5,000 people listened to Pentagon Papers whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg and other speakers. Later, Dan and about 100 others climbed over a barbed wire fence, set up some tents on the tracks, and expected to be arrested. But police held back as a late spring blizzard blew away the balmy afternoon. Maybe Mother Nature would do their job. I was on the legal side of the fence, and as the snow swirled and drive time radio and TV reported on the historic rally and ongoing blockade, I witnessed a beautiful thing. One after another, people drove up unsolicited with hot food and drinks, tents and tarps, blankets and boots for the ill-prepared blockaders. Those who could bear the weather huddled between the tracks in a makeshift meeting room fashioned out of abandoned railroad ties and plastic sheets. The next morning, rally organizers returned and told the few dozen who remained to go home. They had promised the union and plant management a symbolic blockade. If police made no arrests, the blockade would end. But the blockaders, schooled during their training in Gandhian nonviolence and the American traditions of civil disobedience, concluded that they could not, in good conscience, leave the tracks. There they were, in the right place, at the right time in history and in the right manner, nonviolent opponents of the local hazard and global threat that was Rocky Flats. So they took a new name for their campaign, and honoring Gandhi, called it Rocky Flats Satyagraha, or the Rocky Flats Truth Force. While they sheltered on the tracks, Dan Ellsberg led teach-ins, sharing his deep knowledge of U.S. nuclear policy based on secret documents he would later write about in his 2017 book, The Doomsday Machine. They camped in the snow for almost a week, a magnet for media and a beacon of hope until sheriff's deputies packed themselves into an empty boxcar, rolled it up to the blockade, and poured out to arrest the activists. Released from jail that very afternoon, they held a press conference and vowed to return. I skipped my last two final exams to see that happen, and joined more than 200 others who were arrested at Rocky Flats through that summer and fall. The Rocky Flats Truth Force was drawing broad local, national, even international support as every train, in or out, was blocked, often leading to arrests and sometimes jail. 10 of us went on trial that fall, representing most of the others in exchange for the judge hearing expert testimony about the impact of plutonium on human health from a trio of world-renowned nuclear experts: the plutonium chemist and molecular biologist Dr. John Goffman, health physics pioneer Dr. Carl Morgan, and trailblazing epidemiologist Dr. Alice Stewart. The judge did not let the jury hear the experts, but the jury did hear our varied and passionate testimonies. After 10 hours of deliberation over 2 days, we were convicted of trespass and acquitted of obstruction. Out in the hallway after the trial, amidst the crush of reporters and supporters, one juror came up to me and confessed, "We all support you and your cause." Over the next decade, there were regular protests, prayer vigils, and even an encirclement of the Rocky Flats plant, and many were jailed for their direct actions. In 1989, Rocky Flats was famously raided by the FBI over continuing environmental crimes and shut down for good. Today, the government is still struggling to replace Rocky Flats with expensive new pit factories in New Mexico and South Carolina. This has been Jack Cohen Joppa for Nuclear Hot Seat, with my own story from the Nuclear Resistor Archives that I hope might inspire your activism today.